Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anime, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you. And may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Welcome to Crosstalks. We're happy to have with us today, Ham Grant. Welcome, Ham. We're happy to have you.
Welcome.
I'm happy to be here. Praise God.
Yeah. Praise God. We're happy
I'm
to
excited.
Have you.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to all the questions and maybe ministering to somebody or encouraging somebody.
Amen. Well, we're excited, and Bill is going to start you out with the first question.
Amen.
All right.
Well, what we're wanting to know is when you first got saved and it brought you to the decision of accepting Jesus the Christ as your Savior. Amen.
Man, that's a good question. So I was thinking about that, and that's, I don't think it's coincidence. Recently, one of our ministers was preaching, and they was testifying when they got saved.
Amen.
And I had been thinking about it because of these questions, and they got saved the same time I did in 98.
Amen.
I was 16, turning 17, and I had moved to Delaware, and I was staying with my grandmother. We camped beside each other, you know, but I was staying with my grandmother.
Amen.
And she would witness to me every day. And they had like a tag team thing going on. My grandmother, my Aunt Effie Signs, you know, my Aunt Peggy. And for that matter, the whole town is like that, you know. And but my grandmother would ask me to go to church and I wouldn't go, but she fucked me basically till I said okay. Now, I grew up going to church, and I didn't hate church or anything like that, but I was a teenager, and I just was doing whatever I was doing, you know?
Amen.
And one of the things that was going on was a youth meeting that was happening during the day on a Thursday, and she would make me go, actually. Like, you know, and I love my granny, so I would, whatever she asked me to do, I would have done anyways, you know?
Amen.
So I went there, and Eddie Smith, nephew Bill Smith was preaching at them. He was my age and he was saved. But I would actually go in. I would go in and I would just see what everyone was doing. I never actually went into a single service that he had, you know, but I would go and hide in the back and that. But what he would do is he would find you though, and he would kind of give you a small version of his, message. And one in particular, I really remember him finding me and preaching to me, and I that really stuck out to me because I didn't know anyone young like that was my age that was saved at the time, and there was something different about him.
Amen.
But I had the Lord was pulling out my heart for years since I was a young man to be a Christian, but I think it's now Christianity is very popular with our people, but at the time maybe it wasn't as much with the youth, you know.
Amen.
And I was scared that I was going to be made a rag out of, or nobody wants to stick out like a sore thumb, you know what I mean? So I guess I was scared to be a Christian. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. You know? Amen.
The Lord would tug at my heart, and I just thought I was going to miss out on things, or I thought I was going to be odd or strange, or I don't know what I thought, you know, but I wasn't willing, you know, and the Lord never, you know, how he shows up, it would be every now and then, just why don't you try me, you know?
Amen. Praise God.
So there was a party down in Virginia, and I asked my mom and dad if I could go down to it. And I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and there was a church that I grew up going to. I thank God for. I went there. My mom took me to that church almost every week.
Amen.
But I went to the camp that I grew up on. I haven't been there in a while and seen if anyone was there. I was looking for the kids, see what they were doing at the time. And I couldn't find nobody. And I thought, where's everybody at? I thought, well, maybe there's something going on at the church. Now, it was light outside. I think it was during the day, or at least it was still early. And so I thought maybe there was a cookout or something going on because they would do that stuff. But I went there, and they was actually having a youth revival. And back then, I remember there being a lot of youth revivals.
Amen.
And I walked in the church. no intentions of, you know, being a Christian or, you know, I was just being polite. I knew how to act in a church, you know. And I walked in, and I really wanted to see what all the kids were doing. And I remember Tom Hicks was there. He was preaching, and I remember that he had a prayer line. And the Holy Spirit was convicting me, you know. But still, I was in, I felt convicted all the time for what I was doing. You grow up in church, you know when you're doing right or wrong, you know. Whether you're listening or not, you know. But I was in standing at that church, our church I grew up in, is relatively small compared to some of the other churches. But I'm standing in the back talking to all the kids, and they was, everyone else was entering in, you know. And there was a prayer line, which we don't see too much anymore, do we?
No, they had a prayer line.
And I was in the prayer line talking with no intention of getting prayed on, you know. But from that back of the church to the front of the church, just from the man of God preaching and the Lord convicting me and speaking to my heart. And one of the things that I know the Lord said to me, he said, you know what? You've never even just tried me. You know, you've tried everything else. I wasn't a happy person. I was very miserable before I come to the Lord.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I didn't have any hope or like any, like some people's happy to be without Jesus. At least they say they are. I wasn't. I was very miserable, you know. And I thought, you know what, Lord, I haven't, you know. Amen. And I was like, you know, what? Sure. I didn't have like a big prayer or it was like, you know, I want what you have for me. Go ahead. Whatever. I didn't even know what it meant, you know, but I confessed that I wanted to be saved. I repented for my sins, you know, and instantly all these things that I worried about and cared about and as much as a 16-year-old could worry about, I guess, Amen. But all the things that were important to me at the time just kind of come off me, you know. Amen. I used to be have a lot of anxiety and was worried. Like, but that's a trap that I think our people have, right? You're worried about what everyone says, and, you know what I mean? And it's really a bondage people have, you know? And I was very bound by that, what everyone had to say. And that's why I never would walk into the youth room, because I was worried if I walked in, someone might say something to me, you know?
Amen.
So, but that got took away from me instantly. And I realized I missed out. I wish I could go back. And that's and I wish I gave my heart to the Lord way younger than that and missed out on all them years, you know, all the good things he had for me. And that's what I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to miss out on any good things God has for me. You know?
Me
but that's
too.
How I got saved. You know?
Me too.
Amen. Amen. It was wonderful, Ham.
It was a wonderful testimony.
Amen. I'll tell you, with them three old girls after you and praying for you, you were in the crosshairs and you weren't getting out of it, buddy.
They worked on me.
Amen.
Praise God for people like that.
Praise God
for the background of everybody.
Praise the Lord. Love them.
Yeah. I loved what you said, that you know how to act in church, being raised in church. You know how to act in church. That's good, because a lot of people's raised in church, and they don't know how to act. So that struck me, like, you know, reverence. That was good.
Amen.
That was good.
Sure. Well, I think things are a little different now. Like, it's hard. One thing I've noticed, you can't correct the children no more.
No.
You know what I mean? Everybody gets... When I was younger, they had no problem. You might have got kicked in the chair.
Amen.
That's it. Yes. Well, what can you remember, if you can, would be one of the first people you witnessed to or brought to the Lord after you got saved, Ham?
Yeah. So, like, I think other people my age, you know, like I told everyone that had an ear. Like when I first got saved, anyone that would listen to me, I couldn't wait to tell them, you know.
That's good.
And because it was good news to me, you know what I mean? And it was, and I remember, I don't want to say any names. Mm-hmm. I won't say their names, but I remember I had some friends and I instantly, you know, it's funny. And we have to get in our word and we need to study our scripture, but the things that you know right away, I knew that I couldn't hang out with my same friends. You know, I knew I had to just find new Christian friends.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And but I still tried to witness to them. And I remember, now I was right. Just like I said, I was worried to make her, like I thought he'd be made a rag out of. I was. Everyone would make a bam out of you. You know, nobody, the boys my age was interested in serving Jesus. You know?
Amen.
And it seemed crazy that you would say that. It was like, we just seen you last week. What do you mean now you're a Christian? You know what I mean? So,
right.
And, but I remember one particular story, and I got to point to this, because, well, I'll tell the story. The same two people that I witnessed to all the time, they called me one day and they said, guess what? We was at a revival, and I knew they went up there, but we, you know, you go to revivals to see what kids were doing and what the people were doing. Right. And they said, we got saved. And I remember crying. I was so happy. You know what right. I mean? So I was, and they come over and they picked me up and they put me in the truck with them and they said they were taking me to church. And when they got, and I knew something was up right away, but they turned on the same old music. Things got, that wasn't of the Lord got brought out, you know. And I remember I was only maybe a block away from my house and I said, just pull over. And I got out and I was disgusted, you know. But one thing I've learned as a Christian, like, not every time you witness to somebody and they get saved, you know. I probably witnessed to more people that didn't receive Christ, you know. But I've learned over the years that our job is to plant and water, and God gives the increase.
Amen.
And, you know, maybe later on they'll remember, you know, maybe they'll get saved. And I have seen a lot of my friends get saved over the years. And I've had people come up and tell me that seeing me live for Jesus encouraged them. You know, that's sometimes that's testifying we can do or witnessing is just our lifestyle. Amen. You know what I mean? Being consistent, you know. But I don't get discouraged anymore. I got one really good witnessing story I remember that's coming to my mind before I called you. And we got to take opportunities. Sometimes we can be so carried away doing what we're doing, we miss blatant opportunities to witness to people. You know, and I've learned over here to try to catch those moments and not be blinded to them. I remember I was fishing one day, which goes, you know, with being a witness. But it was a few years back, all the guys in town were just obsessed with fishing. That's all we did. We get up early and go fishing, and we stay out late and go fishing. And we was at this one pond, and it was really late, and we're fishing, and we're casting fish like crazy. I don't think I've caught as many fish before or since then as that day. We lost track of bass. We was having a ball. We was having a good old time. And we're casting fish and casting fish. Now it's getting dark, and we're still casting. Now it's raining, and we're casting fish, and we're fishing in the rain. And one man pulled in a little car, and he pulled up past us. And this is down backwoods. You got to know about this place. This isn't like a fishing destination. We had someone we work for tell us about it. And we're fishing, and this man's fishing away from him. And all of a sudden, I had this thought. I was like, why am I here right now? You know, what is the chances I'm ever going to be here? I thought how everything that brought me to this point, you know, this where I was at fishing, and this man showed up. And I remember walking over and giving him the preaching to him, the witnessing to him, and giving him the gospel. And I remember he didn't accept it, but then I seen him later on, and I got to encourage him again. But that's my biggest advice on witnessing it. When we get these moments, we might not witness to every single person that we see, but when we have these opportunities that we know that divine God's appointed them,
Amen.
I'm wondering about this too, because I mean, he had goosebumps. He could tell that the Lord was witnessing to him, you know.
Amen.
But like we can get busy taking numbers of how many people we've led to the Lord or something like that. But at the end, we're not getting the glory for that, anyways. We just gotta give them the gospel, preach to them, and God, the Holy Spirit's going to convict them, and they're either going to accept it or they're not going to. You know, we still got to keep on witnessing. You know,
that's a good point, Ham, about taking time out to witness, because sometimes myself I get so wrapped up even in church business, I gotta get this, gotta get that, and overlook the most important thing. Everything we do is to bring souls to Christ. Very good. I like that, what you said.
We're busier now than we've ever been, right?
Amen.
Would you like to share some standout moments in your ministry or people who have influenced you?
Sure. Oh man, I got tons of those. Pastor Eddie has been one of my biggest influences, Eddie Smith. Mm-hmm. You know, I love music and Christian music specifically. You know, I got a pretty funny story. When I was, I think I was like 11, back when there still was, cassettes was out, you know. Mm-hmm. And I come up to Delaware, and we was living in Virginia at the time, and I was with my grandmother, so it's all the same story, all this, you know. But I remember I went with her to the grocery store. And he come out and he said, do you like music? This is all, it's something so simple. I said, yeah, I like music, you know. And he gave me a cassette. It was blank. He didn't have his name on it. He didn't tell me it was Christian music. He just said, he just had a smile on his face. And he's like, here you go. Listen to that, you know.
Amen.
And one of everyone, just about anyone I know, had this tape, or at least my age, you know, the younger kids. So now it's on, thank God, it's on Apple. But I don't know. That was a real effective way to witness, wasn't it? You could give someone a tape or a CD. Yeah. I don't think it's the same thing as, you know, was on Apple or that. But I listened to that tape, I don't know how many times. I listened to it, so I blowed up whatever cassette player I had at the time, and then I couldn't find nothing to play it on. And then I had this—I had a Teddy Ruxpin. That's how young I was. So, I went into Teddy Ruxpin. He'd sing and dance to the Eddie Smith songs, and I still had Teddy Ruxpin at the tape, you know.
Yeah, right. But, praise God. Praise God for Eddie Ruxpin.
But some songs ministered to me. You know what I mean?
I remember that tape. My brother-in-law, Jimmy, got me one. I wasn't there the summer he made it, and I come in, and he had one for me, and I, like you said, burned it out. It's amazing.
It's just funny. I was thinking of Teddy Ruxpin. I was just talking to my girls about Teddy Ruxpin yesterday. It was funny when you said it right now.
Yeah,
anyhow.
Teddy Smith songs was the funniest thing.
That was good.
But it made, you know, what that did with me is I realized how powerful it was, just something that simple, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's something I always wanted to do right when I got saved, you know, was make songs, record songs. And
Uncle Billy. Okay.
Well, the question we wanted to ask you is, how did you get into the ministry, and when or how did you feel called into the ministry? Praise God.
All right. Sure. That's a good question. A lot of people might want to be in the ministry.
Amen.
You know, or might want to do something for the Lord. And we're all called to do something. We're all able-bodied ministers, but it's really important to know what God's called you to do.
Amen.
Because you can be a foot and trying to be a hand, you know, and you'll get tired and wore out, and it'll never feel right. You always feel out of place, you know.
Amen.
But right away, I felt called into doing something musically, whatever it was. When I first got paid, I would play drums really badly, but I done that, when I got saved when I was 16. And then when I was around 17, I backslid terribly. You know what I mean? So for whatever reason, and that would take an hour to explain all that, you know, but amen. I did. And while I was backslid, this is an interesting testimony too. I started playing guitar, no interest in playing Christian music at that time, you know, this went on for a couple of years, and somebody that I knew signed me up because I was singing songs. I wasn't writing songs. I was singing songs to play at a local bar somewhere. So this is the shape I got myself in 2 years. When you're a Christian and you run from the Lord, oh my gosh. You know, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Praise God.
When you leave, you leave the flock, you're just like open target, you know what I mean? So really, I never had problems like that before I become a Christian, you know? But I remember you had to have a song set. I'm going somewhere with this. And you had to have a three songs to sing, right? And I had my three songs to sing, and I got up on the stage there to sing, and I went blank for whatever reason. And now my conversation's going full circle. I have no intent to talk about this stuff. But when I feel the Lord in this, I'm hoping someone receives this. So I got up, and the only thing I could sing or think of was Eddie Smith songs, right? and I was never playing them to anybody or playing, you know. So and I in this bar, I started singing Eddie Smith songs. Now I would maybe change a little word here and there, you know, because they were Christian songs. Someone there was interested in me. And so afterwards, I was running from the Lord. Like I wasn't like God was chasing after me. Like, I felt terrible about doing all the things I was doing. I had no peace in it. You know, I felt conviction and condemnation and all these things that comes with running from the Lord, you know?
Amen.
And I was like Jonah, you know, like in the bottom of the ship and waves are crashing, and it was not good, you know?
Amen.
But then I thought, like, this is the audacity I had. This shows you, like, how we can shape and get in, but also the love of God. All right. At the same time, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a song so that and I'm going to go back into that place, and I'm not going to, because I figured it was the Lord took this from my mind. That's what I thought. Like the Lord did this to me. I don't, you know, and I'm going to write a song, and I'm going to show you, like I thought I was going to show God something. Ain't that crazy? You know? So I wrote a song, right? And within a week, for certain whatever happened, because the Lord was, like I said, the Lord was convicting me, and I give my heart back to the Lord, right?
Amen.
But then around that same time, and I wanted to sing a Christian song up in church, but, I was having trouble, learning songs that was out at the time, and I didn't want to sing, an Eddie Smith song because I thought, I didn't think I could sing one of his songs, but I found that song that I wrote, right, that I was going to show God, something.
That one.
And you know how I changed Eddie Smith's songs? I looked at it to sound more worldly, looked at my song, and I changed a couple things, and it was a Christian song. And it was the first Christian song I ever wrote.
Amen. There you go.
But, that just shows you how God can make all things work for the good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And I was called, I believe, to write Christian music,
Amen.
And but how I got into the ministry to do more things, I sung that song one night, and that was nice, and people said they witnessed to him, but I also played harmonica around that time.
Amen.
But I had no intention of playing harmonica in church. I was actually kind of lax to play it in front of people, on stage. And during the winter time, everybody was gone, and Pastor Eddie asked me just to help him on with music. He was just trying to encourage me, And I couldn't play any instruments. Was there, and I had a harmonica. He said, "Well, play that." I played guitar, but that's what I wanted to do, but he was playing guitar. So Jimmy Townsley was down in Florida and running meetings down there, helping run meetings, and he was the worship leader at the time. And he come back up, and he said, "Hey, my mom said," because he was there, Aunt Annie Townsley, she said, "She heard you playing the harmonica, and it was really good, and we'd like you to help us with worship." Well, I immediately thought he was going to ask me to play guitar and sing, So I said, "Well, I'd love to do that." He said, "I'd like you to play harmonica." And I was so disgusted when he said that. Because I didn't want to do that in front of everybody. I figured I was just the same old problem hang up. I was worried someone was going to make a rag out of me. But then I got
Hallelujah.
I was like, "You know what?" And this is the mentality we have to have. I was like, "You know what? I'd make a rag out of myself when I wasn't serving God, and I would do anything." And I was like, "You know what, Lord?" And he didn't make a bam out of me. He never did anything like that. But whatever you want me to do, that's the mentality. If it's playing harmonica, if it's whatever, I will do whatever you want me to do.
Amen.
But it gave me a place, And it opened doors, and it became part of my ministry. But we just got to, whatever it is, we got to get out of our own head what we think that we're called to do,
Right.
And just be open-minded what the Lord wants us to do, Amen. And you can grow in that, and doors will open.
Yep. We was talking on the way over here, and Uncle Bill brought it up. He said, "I love how that boy plays the harmonica." So it's something that's kind of attached to you now, and you were the first one amongst our people to do it, So sometimes you think it's a silly thing, but it's not, and it might encourage somebody else to step out and do something outside of the box,
And it's opened doors for me to be able to sing songs, too. One of my favorite things was we were doing a prison ministry, and they loved the harmonica in prison.
Amen.
The Word of God says this: many are called, but few are chosen. He chose you to play that harmonica.
That's it.
Whether you wanted to or not. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. So praise God. Too. Praise God.
Ham, how difficult is it having kids and raising kids, being part of a ministry, and how important is it to have your wife backing you?
It's the simple answer is it's very important. And as far as my wife backing me, and I got a few more things to say about that, but yes, it's very important. And the kids, to say it's difficult, I think it would have been a lot more difficult if I didn't raise them in church,
That's good.
And thank God my children have, they're kids and they learn stuff and they grow in the Lord as they get older. And my Millie, I'm very blessed with Millie. Leave worship, and she preaches sometimes, and she's always very involved. My second girl, my Marion, she's very involved now in her youth group and stuff like that. My Effie teaches Sunday school, My Ham, if you ask him what his favorite things in life is, he'd probably say his mom, his dad, and Jesus, You know what I mean?
There you go.
So, and, but it didn't, that doesn't mean it doesn't have problems. You know what I mean? Like, I'm constantly, you're the bad guy all the time, you know? Like, you're telling them things they can't do, and they maybe, they don't, the kids maybe don't have the same convictions that you have, their kids, you know? And, but I've never regretted telling them what's right and what's wrong. And if you're patient with them, and I've learned if I don't yell at them over things that I've told them not to do and that, to show them the same love that I was shown in patience, amen, that they get it eventually. You know what I mean?
Amen.
For my kids, I do that. You know, I'm very blessed with that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm serving the Lord. Like, that was one of the things that God used to convict me, you know what I mean? It was like, what about your family? What about, you know,
amen,
people around you? So that I know that they look up to me, you know, so it's very important. And my wife, I wouldn't even be where I'm at if it wasn't for my wife. I have a very good wife. She keeps
amen
me
amen
in good spiritual check. Amen. You know?
Amen.
Because I could be all over the place, and amen, she's always very steady, you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
It's very important. You know, like, if someone's a young minister right now and they're not married, do not get married. You don't need fixer-uppers. That's what I tell my kids all the time.
Amen.
That's good.
Praise God.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Praise that God sends someone your way,
amen,
that loves the Lord and is already serving the Lord, you know, and that God has someone for you. You
amen
know
what I mean? Amen.
And,
amen.
And but now, if you're, but you know, not everyone, some people are already married, maybe not saved, and then they get saved and they're called into the ministry.
Amen.
And that's a whole other thing altogether, right?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, I like fixer-uppers. That was good.
Yes, amen.
Yeah,
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You perish without a vision.
Yeah.
So what is your vision for your church and for the people and the future of it?
So, I mean, I think the really good question, Bill. One thing is what I pray and hope that people my age and younger can capture their vision that our pastors have, our leaders have. That's number one. Because they've been given a vision from God where they to preach to our people, to encourage them. And be constant. They're constantly concerned about souls. You know
amen
what I mean?
Amen.
And we can't get off that. And they have a standard that they've laid down. And my hope is that, and my prayer is that we don't compromise those things. You know?
Amen. Amen.
And that we keep on keeping that standard. But I want to. What I'd love to see is. The next generation, we need a move of God right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Not just another convention. There's always conventions.
Amen.
There's always
used
to watch the nature of their purpose. But a real move of God
amen
is what
amen
I would love to see.
Amen.
You know, but as I was thinking today, if we don't keep on serving Jesus and keep up these standards and that we could be a couple of generations away from maybe some churches closing down. You
amen
know?
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. There's a shaking
you know, we
going
keep on.
On.
And you know what? The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
I believe that. But I want to make sure that we're the church of the living God. You know, I
yes
want to make sure that we keep our standards right.
Amen.
And
praise God.
Yeah,
praise
that's,
God.
I'm just
that's
following
right
them. I'm following them as they follow Christ, you know.
Amen.
But,
following good
you know,
men.
There's praise big, God. But there's big obstacles we have nowadays that the kids have now that we didn't have.
Oh,
you know?
Amen. Thank God I'm not a child today.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to, it's hard for them. It's harder for them. And I believe right now, too, that I believe 100% that we're in the last day.
Amen.
You know? And
amen.
So I think that's why the devil's trying to do a quick work. And I see all this, all the things that that Jesus said that we'll see at the end of times is that
amen
people
amen
will be lovers of themselves. It's the lovers of God, and
amen
and how the that kids won't be respectful of their parents, and
that's
so
right.
I'm not surprised. Is my point. We're living
that's
in
right
those days.
Yes,
amen.
You know what
amen
I mean?
That's it. That's it. Well, is there anything else, Ham, you would like to share on a personal note? Anything else you'd like to share before we close?
Yeah, I got sure. You know, because this is what I believe my ministry is about is. A lot of Christians, we all mess up, you know what I mean? Everyone
mm-hmm
everyone messes up in some way. Some people don't like to admit it, you know what I mean? But we all mess up.
I'll admit
people,
it.
No matter what happens, no matter what you do, don't be so prideful to think that your sin or your mess up is bigger than our God we serve.
That's good.
The blood of Jesus Christ is more than powerful to save us and to keep us.
Amen. You know? Amen. Praise God.
No matter how many times we messed up, you know, I was reading, I was going over the context of it, but I love this scripture in Proverbs 24 and 16, for a righteous Amen. Man may fall seven times
Amen.
And rises up again. Right. And it's talking about a righteous man can be attacked and things can happen to him, but he gets back up again. And sometimes we get attacked by life. Sometimes we get attacked by our own with things that we want, and we mess up. Sometimes Amen. I don't need nothing else Amen. To mess me up. I can mess myself up.
Yeah. You know? Amen.
But a righteous man is declared righteous for getting back up again. Amen. You know what I mean?
Amen.
So that's what I would like to end with.
Amen.
Get back up again.
Amen.
People fighting the good fight of faith. I want to be like Paul. He said, I fought the good fight of faith.
That's
I
good.
Finished the course. Finish the course. Keep on going for Jesus.
That's
encourage
good.
Yourself. Sometimes someone else will encourage you. So encourage yourself. Amen.
That's
Amen.
Good advice. Amen. Good advice. Good advice.
Praise God.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming on, Ham, and taking the time to support this ministry through prayer and doing a podcast for us. And you really blessed me today, and we truly appreciate
Amen.
It.
Praise
My pleasure. I love all you guys.
And a tremendous blessing. We thank you for coming.
Amen.
And keep up the harmonica. We love
Amen.
The harmonica.
I will.
Amen.
Oh, I will. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I love you, my man. And I love that
you.
Harmonica.
All
right, well. We truly appreciate you. Thank you.
I appreciate you,
God
guys.
Bless you.
God bless.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast. And remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.